Hello and welcome to our weekly broadcast of Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the program that defies the notion that your prime of life is behind you once you reach age 40. Each week we discuss one aspect of life in your middle years, that unique period when you're old enough and wise enough to avoid the follies of youth, but you're still young enough to dream big dreams and plan for a brighter tomorrow. Hello, I'm your host, Roy Richards. 12 years ago, I woke up to a new life experience and wouldn't trade my life today with anyone I know. We're here to help guide you to similar joy and purpose in your daily experience. On today's program, we are going to return to the subject of midlife career choices. Let's face it, like it or not, most of us spend 2,000 hours a year or more earning a living. Now, I'm not willing to dedicate that many hours to a job or career which I do not admire, perhaps even hate. Are you? It's a lousy job or no job straining your finances, your relationships, and poisoning your outlook on life. This has happened to me. 3 times in my life I accepted jobs I didn't really want and can't believe I stayed in them as long as I did. In 2 of these jobs I actually hung around in misery until my employer did me a big favor and let me go. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? If you are sick and tired of the corporate grind, or worse yet, you are struggling to make ends meet without a job, you need to pay close attention to today's guest. He will encourage you to consider a bold shift, not only in your career, but also in your outlook on life. My guest on today's program is Guy Hobson, a life coach who specializes in one-on-one personalized counseling for individuals willing to consider transition either to their own business or into an entirely different profession. He has a highly disciplined 7-step process. Guy has been there and he's done that. After a stint as a commercial actor and 15 years in corporate management and human resources, Guy decided it was time to follow his passion and venture out on his own as a life coach. Based in Manhattan, and that's, for you Midwesterners, that's the Big Apple, not Manhattan, Kansas. Guy is president of the Hobson Group and a member of the International Coach Federation. Hello, Guy, and welcome to our program.
Thank you so much, Roy. I really appreciate you having me here today and just taking the time to discuss what I consider to be a very relevant topic for those of us who are 40 and above.
Yeah. Guy, whether or not a listener is presently employed, these are pretty frightening times. In the June 23rd Wall Street Journal, there was an article entitled, "For Middle-Aged Job Seekers, A Long Road Back." And this article reports that more than 3.5 million Americans between the ages of 45 and 64 were unemployed in May, and 39% of them for a year or more, to quote, a rate of long-term unemployment unprecedented in modern U.S. history and far higher than among younger workers. Millions more have quit looking for work and have taken part-time jobs simply to get by, and I'm certain that many, many more baby boomers are trapped in jobs they don't admire, but they're afraid to venture out in this difficult economy. Let's pretend for a moment that I'm a frustrated baby boomer who has come to you as a life coach. I'm either out of work or extremely dissatisfied with the job I have now. Please tell me why, instead of just looking for a new job, I should explore alternative choices to my current career.
Well, you know, Roy, today there are so many of us have actually spent, you know, a large portion of our careers in the corporate world, and we grew up expecting that, you know, the companies that we worked for would somewhat take care of us and make sure that we would, you know, be able to move into retirement and be comfortable after that work period ended. However, the workplace has changed so much today. There are so many different options for people because, as you and I both know, the organizations aren't taking care of their employees at this point. Each one of us has to really sort of sit back and reassess what it is that we want to do and then start taking steps towards that. Because in today's job market, the way I see it, each one of us is really an individual consultant, And we have to actually look at our skill sets, our abilities, what it is that we like to do and love to do, and tie all of that in to making next steps towards whatever it is that we're going to do and as we, you know, make our career choices moving forward.
Yes, I like to call that being chief executive officer of our own personal careers.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes, that's exactly what we are. We're chief executive officers of ourselves, and we're going to have to almost, you know, I see so many employees who, even the ones who are working now, everyone has, I look at it like people have their head down and they're just grinding away, yeah, trying to hold on to what they have. And I tell people that step back and look up and see the sunshine and look around and say, all right, this is where I am. Where do I want to go? And then
if I'm determined to make a radical transition, how do I go about deciding exactly what I want to do? That's kind of the $64,000 question.
Yeah, it's a challenging question. And you know, what I found in when I work with my clients, it's almost as if we sit down and we start from square one and start examining what are the things that just make you happy? What are the things that you would do for free and still enjoy it? What are you passionate about? What type of things do you love? I had a client of mine who actually was working in finance, and she was totally unhappy with it. And she knew she wanted to do something else, but she didn't know what it was that she wanted to do. And we had to really reexamine her core beliefs and what it is that made her happy. And she discovered, through just a lot of questioning, that she loved to be creative. She was more creative, and she wanted to get into that. And after really doing some soul searching, we talked about what things she enjoyed when she was younger, you know, when she was in college, before she actually got into the workforce. And she discovered that she really wanted to become a filmmaker.
Huh.
And she's still working in her current career right now, but she's actually studying film. And she sends me these little blurbs of these short films that she's making, and I can see from where she was to where she wants to go, she's actually creating that now.
That's so great, because I can relate to that so much, because I got so caught up for years and years and just eking out a living that I sort of lost complete track of what I really wanted to be doing.
So many of us do.
Yeah, it's so easy to do.
Yes, very much so.
Once I have pinpointed a targeted career and lifestyle, how do I then go about creating a realistic plan of action to obtain that new way
of
living?
The first step is, one, as you said, just really discovering what it is that you want to do, and then sit down and decide how you're going to do it. You know, many times people look at, say, even my former client who is now taking classes in film. If she had just said, all right, starting tomorrow I'm going to take a class in film, or not even just take a class, I'm going to be a filmmaker, it would have probably seemed overwhelming for her.
Yes.
So the first step is to, one, you have to be open to just trying new things. So once you decide that you want to do something that is a passion of yours, it makes sense to just take a class in that area to sort of get a sense if that really is what it is that resonates with you. Because sometimes, you know, we have things that we like, but we may not want to make a career out of it. So it's important to really sit back and say, okay, you know, I think I may want to explore this. And in the process, it's almost as if you're going to take some exploratory steps to really get a sense of what it is you like about something that you think you may want to do. You know, and I tell folks a lot of times, it doesn't have to be one specific thing. Maybe there are a number of things that you like to do, so maybe sit down and write out a list of all of those things that will help you navigate towards what it is that really helps make your life happier and really helps you feel more self-fulfilled, because that's really what it's about to me.
Yes, I like the idea of not burning all the bridges until you're certain you know what you want to do in life.
Right. Don't
throw
all of your dollars into it
before you jump in.
You know, and just jump right in. Like, really take some initial steps to just get your feet wet. And see what that feels like. See what resonates with you. See if you feel comfortable in doing so. You know, it took me some time to really decide I wanted to be a life coach, and it was a process. It was probably a 3-year process from one, really just deciding that I was going to do it, and then taking some courses to see if that was really what I wanted to do. And then after taking those courses and becoming certified, then deciding at some point, okay, well, am I going to do this full-time, and then how am I going to do it? And overall, it was probably about a 3 to 4 year process before I actually jumped out and started my own business.
Yeah. Well, years ago, after I lost my CFO job, I was once out of work for 15 months, and I suffered through extreme swings of mental highs and lows.
Yes.
You know, like I was runner-up for a perfect job and just waiting around for the offer to come. It never came, and that was tough to recover from. How do you keep your clients moving steadily and energetically toward their career? Because everyone's going to suffer through some disappointments and some setbacks, I think, in transition.
Totally true. The important thing is to, one, not give up, because once you give up, you're sort of giving into it. And the other thing is there are other ways to really keep your skill set just involved and keep you getting up every day. One, volunteer work is so important today, because all of those things that you do when you're volunteering are also skill sets that you can add to your resume.
Yeah.
And it's so important, because then you're getting up every day and getting out of the house, or even maybe it's 2 days a week or 3 days a week.
That's so important. I agree.
It's extremely important. You know, so I think volunteer work is one thing that really is a key step. And two, continue to work towards what it is you want to do. You know, it's important for people to understand that there are opportunities out there, but today you have to rethink the whole process of searching for a job, and it may require taking some new courses, and that doesn't necessarily mean getting a new, you know, a whole another degree. Maybe you could take some courses at a community college to help get a certificate in something that you really like. You know, the whole green job thing is a whole another area of opportunity that is really just starting to open up. And so there are opportunities out there, but it really requires folks to rethink and also keep themselves busy so they aren't sitting at home really staying in their head and getting stuck into a particular position and not taking chances to get back out there.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. I can recall the difference between when I was really striving towards something during that period of unemployment and when I was just sitting back in frustration and making excuses for not doing anything.
Well, you know, and it's a spiral, you know.
How do you make a truly meaningful and permanent adjustment in your life instead of just a temporary change? I know you've mentioned that that's
a
necessity.
The permanent change really requires an attitude of persistence. You know, because as all of us, as you know, as we all get older, sometimes it becomes challenging to really sort of reinvent ourselves. And so much of what we used to do, we want to go back to. So, you know, I tell folks that it's so important to, one, and this is something that so many of us do, is, one, don't beat yourself up. Really be easy enough on yourself to understand that, you know, whatever feelings come up, you have to just allow them to resonate with you and feel what you feel. But also, at the same time, keep taking steps to move in the direction that you want to. And what I've learned is that so many times we try to handle a big project and we look at that big project and it becomes daunting. But if you break it down into very small, specific steps, and you take the first step, and then once you take the first step and you've sort of processed that, then move to the next step, and you can continue to move forward. And what I found is as people begin to just take it a step at a time, you'd be amazed at the opportunities that just start opening up, because you're opening up yourself to the process. And in the process, you start gaining some momentum, and that momentum really starts to propel you forward at an accelerated pace as you begin to take more and more of those steps.
Yeah.
So, you know, take small steps, but also remember that you have a goal in mind and you're moving towards that goal. So to me, the important thing is to remember to accept your accomplishments as you take each one of those steps and recognize them as accomplishments. Reward yourself for those accomplishments, because those are the things that will keep you moving forward and keep you feeling good about what it is that you're doing and what you're working towards.
Well, how does gratitude impact your life, and how should it impact your life? I know you've made a big point of gratitude.
You know, I'm smiling as you say gratitude, because to me, gratitude is everything. It's so important in all that we do. You know what? When you have gratitude about everything, because in my mind, gratitude is even being happy for the position that you're in right now, even if it's not where you really want to be, but gratitude about being able to recognize where you are and see what it is and see, you know, what you have. So I always look at life as what it is that I have, what's good in my life, what things do I enjoy, what things make me happy. It could be your family. You know, it could be, you know, the legacy that you've built. It could be the friendships that you've made. It could be the accomplishments that you've had. It could be the fact that you got up today and you took one step to actually move forward towards what it is that you want. Remember that gratitude is really just going to keep you in the right mindset, because mindset is everything. But it's going to keep you in the right mindset to continue to move forward and then also continue to just open up those opportunities as they come along.
You know, that's a fascinating situation. I'm thinking of a situation where I'm perhaps out of work, but I can have a lot of gratitude that I have in mind a specific target that I'm working for and a specific plan of attack, and that I'm CEO of my own job search and that I'm marketing my own product, which is me, and I can be really thankful that I have the tools to do that. So,
very much so.
Well, let's say that you're 50 and have done some preliminary networking and exploration of alternative career options, but you've been told time and again that you're too old or that you lack qualifications for careers other than the one that you're presently in. At this point, how do you overcome the belief that you have no other options?
You know, you do have other options, and to overcome it is to really understand what it is that you bring to the marketplace that younger employees do not. There's a lot of value in the experience that us 50 and over employees have, you know, and the fact that we can get up to speed so much quicker than someone new that's coming in. We forget sometimes that all of those experiences that we've had help us to, we need less job training than, you know, the young folks coming out of school. We understand the work environment and the dynamics that come into play. We understand that you have to build relationships. All of those things are things that older employees can utilize to actually sell themselves. And, you know, I was just reading something the other day in the Daily News, I believe, here in New York City, and they were talking about seniors are really starting to score jobs now, that employees are just beginning to realize that there's value in the experience that older employees have. And they don't require a whole lot of hand-holding when they come into the workplace. So all of those things are things that each one of us needs to really remember when we go in there that, yes, you know, I'm an older employee, but look what I have. Look what experience I have. Look at the skill sets I have.
And
look at the maturity that I have.
They have less of the distractions of raising children or finding a mate for life and all those other things, you know, the romantic elements of when you're young. I can see why there is a real advantage to
and the young employees, they come into the workplace and they expect immediate gratification.
Yes, they do.
You know, and they think that's how it's supposed to work, and it really doesn't work that way. Those of us who've been in the workforce, we really understand those dynamics, and we can utilize them to help the business move forward in a much bigger way and at a bigger pace than a lot of the young folks can.
Well, I hope a lot of employers are listening to this program.
Hopefully.
Well, like you did years ago, you indicate that some of your clients have decided to ditch the corporate grind and start their own businesses. Mm-hmm. As a client, how do you recommend that I determine whether or not I am cut out to be an independent entrepreneur? as opposed to looking for, say, a new profession or a new job?
Well, yeah. One is, you know, what is your, I'm trying to think of a word for it, but I'm going to say, what is your risk potential? Meaning, are you comfortable with taking big risks? Because in order to be an entrepreneur, as you know, it requires a lot of risk. And you sort of have to step out on your own. And also you have to have the financial ability to be able to sustain yourself for some time.
Very true.
You know, that whole financial piece is something to think of. And when I decided to actually step out on my own, initially I had so much fear. And what was holding me back was the fact that I did not know how I was going to support myself financially before I, you know, before I started bringing in some income. And then I realized I had to ask a different question, so I started asking, so instead of, you know, I can't do this, I started saying, well, how can I do this?
Yeah, very,
you know,
very
you,
key.
Yeah.
How can I rather than I can't?
Yep. And when you start saying how can I, your mind works to give you answers to the questions that
exactly
you ask
right.
it. So it's going to give you different ways and options, and it really helped me to decide that, okay, I can do this. You know, and also you have to be really an independent, very independent person to work as an entrepreneur. You know, and it's not for everyone. So some
and you
people
have to
really
a lot of self-discipline and self-motivation because you're no
totally.
Longer having a boss to tell you what to do, and it's
yes.
so easy to get sidetracked. And,
yes, it is. You have to get up every day, and you have to be very disciplined. And the question I ask myself now, I say, would I hire a guy today? Based on what he did, would I hire myself today?
Yeah, I often suggest people do a position description for their ideal job position that they would love to do, that someone would pay them to have a good time. But
mm-hmm.
then I tell them to sit back and ask whether someone would hire me to do that
mm-hmm.
position.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah. Well, many of us over age 45 have a lot to lose by quitting, obviously, our present jobs. We may have
mm-hmm.
some accrued pension, or we have benefits and other things. In counseling sessions, do you find many instances where a client is able to remain with a present employer, but perhaps in a new position or a career path or with a whole different attitude? Or is that pretty much foreign? Does most people have to transition to a new employer or a new...
You know, I believe that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, mindset really is key to everything. And sometimes it really requires us, particularly those of us who are older when we're in a particular place, really to do some assessment and take a different point of view. And so I challenge my clients to really take a different point of view as opposed to being frustrated, saying, so what is it that I enjoy about what I do? What satisfaction do I get out of it? And make a list of those things, the things that really that you love about the job. It could be the employees or the people that you work with. It could be some of the benefits that you have. It could be the income that you have coming in that's really sustainable and that allows you to live the lifestyle that you want to live.
That's
you
very
know?
Definitely a good
that money's all. Money always helps.
Unless you're like these seven guys in Iowa last week that won the Powerball jackpot and they each get $5.6 million after taxes or something.
Lucky them.
they can pretty much do what they want to do. The strange
yeah,
thing
too
is
bad it doesn't
lottery,
happen for most of us, right?
Most lottery winners figure away their lives and don't really end up better than they started, I guess, from what
exactly,
I read.
Because they don't change their behavior.
Yeah.
You know, they keep the same behavior. You know, and the point that you just, or the point that you asked about, it's so important that when you talk about gratitude again, what can you be grateful for? When you start looking at things from a point of view with gratitude, it really allows you to gain a different perspective on what it is you're doing. And it can allow you to actually take a different approach to the job that you have and look at the end result in mind. Maybe the end result is that you want to retire in 5 years, so maybe that's what keeps you moving through what it is that you have to deal with. So I do recommend that, you know, particularly in today's environment because it is so challenging, that employees also take a look at other opportunities in the organization that they're in.
Yeah, and certainly there's nothing lost by talking to your bosses or the people that employ you about those other opportunities and make it known that you want to stay with the present employer, but that you're dissatisfied and not contributing as much as you could be contributing, and there's a lot of ways to do that, I would think.
That's exactly correct. You talk about what you can contribute to the organization and how you feel you could, best support the organization in other ways, and that is really, it's really about taking a look at the avenues that you have available to you and utilizing them to the best ability that you can.
And like you say, the key is to first determine precisely what you want to do and what you want to be for the rest of your working years, and then you can consider the option of your present employer versus other options.
But clarity is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm married and have children, the lives of family members obviously can be greatly impacted by an anticipated career change or, maybe relocation or the spouse's career, college funding, all these things. And resentment and bitterness by family members can torpedo a positive attitude you need for a fresh start. So how best do you gain the unqualified support from your spouse and children in advance? I know that's very important.
You do that as well in advance as you can. I mean, when I left my job, my spouse basically, the comment was, what about that check that comes in every 2 weeks? What are you going to do about that?
First question.
Right. And it's not a bad piece of cash that comes in every 2 weeks. So what are we going to do about that? And so, it's so important, and clarity is so important in what you're doing, because it requires you to be very clear about what it is that you want to do, and also being able to explain, particularly to your spouse and your family, exactly what it is you want to do it, what it is that you want to do, the benefits behind it, and also, you have to discuss finances, you have to discuss lifestyle changes. I mean, it really is something that, if my spouse really wasn't supporting me, I don't feel that it would have been fair for me to really jump out and do it myself.
Very true. You have to make each family member know what's in it for them, the potential.
Yes,
you'll be a better father, a better husband.
Yes. And, and the other thing that people can talk about, which for me has been such a, I am so much more present in my relationship. I am so much more fulfilled. I'm a lot happier. And I was lucky enough that financially I was able to navigate it in a way that it didn't impact our bottom line lifestyle. And so those things have actually been a benefit now as I'm looking back on it over the past couple of years. But coming into it, I really had to sell myself to my spouse.
I was particularly admired a comment you made in a March. I was looking at your website, and I looked at your March 12th blog, The Power of Purpose. And you say, when you're not living, we're not living our purpose, the trials and tribulations of our daily interactions can have a negative impact on our total being, causing frustration, unhappiness, and illness. Mm-hmm. And that so accurately describes my 30 years of sleepwalking through life, where I really didn't have a purpose in what I was doing. And that's what this radio program, and I'm certain your coaching, is all about, is how to rediscover purpose and create that strong sense of direction.
Mm-hmm. I feel that in life, purpose is everything. It really is what makes us who we are. And, I'm a believer that each one of us has a particular purpose here on this planet, and it could be, your purpose could be to just be a good dad. Maybe that's your purpose.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be something that is saving the world, so to speak.
No. You're a very important person in your little corner of the world, and you have purpose there, that's for certain.
Yes, and when you are infused with purpose in your life, whatever that purpose is, it allows you to really move through life in a different manner, because you're really present and you're active. And, as we turn it back around, you were talking about how do people who are in a, unhappy with the career they're in, it really requires them, if you look at your purpose and what it is that you feel you're really here to do, maybe that purpose is really impacting your family in a positive way. So the job is an avenue for you to do that. And if you tie all of that in, it really gives you such a different perspective on what it is that each one of us does every day. You know, because all of us have to do something to, you know, sustain ourselves and support ourselves. But that doesn't necessarily have to be your purpose. Your purpose could be something outside of that, and what you do to sustain yourself could tie into you living your purpose.
Yes, sir. Well, unfortunately, Guy, we're just about out of time, but I noticed on your website that you offer a highly valuable free consultation session to anyone serious about potential career transformation. And tell the listeners how they can take advantage of your offer and get in touch with you.
They can either go to my website, which is guyhobson.com, and just follow up right there. You can just put your name in, and I'll follow up with you. Or you can either give me a call at 212-283-0517, and I welcome everyone. You know, for me, I get satisfaction from just helping other people realize their own potential and their own happiness.
Well, let me emphasize that Guy's coaching process is very much in line with the career and lifestyle transition suggestions that are contained in my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. And in addition to visiting Guy's website, I invite you to preview my book on our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And while there, you can obtain absolutely free my guidelines on taking your very own 30-day mental vacation from the stress of your present job or from unemployment, along with a format for doing your very own position description for your dream job. These are both included in my free Middle Age Renewal Training mini course that's available just for the asking on our website. And thank you so much, Guy Hobson, for sharing your insights with us today. I'm sure you've helped a lot of listeners make some decisions on where they're going to go from here.
Thank you, Roy. I appreciate what you do also. I know it's having a big impact on just helping other people change their lives and just move on to the next stages.
And this is Roy Richards, your middle-aged human alarm clock, inviting you to tune in again next week to our program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.